what are we talking about in these presentations? We're talking about building something, right? Why would you not include some sort of digital representation of the presentation or the building you're talking about, right? Anytime you're talking about this project that doesn't exist physically, we need to make it exist digitally so we can have a conversation around it. It really is just common sense.
Welcome back to Built Different, a podcast and community choosing to approach innovation differently. I'm Grant Hagen.
I'm Brian Vizzaretta.
And we're on a mission to rewrite the narrative around what innovation truly means.
Last season, we did 12 episodes more focused on the field.
And this season, we packed up our gear, joining teams in site trailers, offices, and even a few podcast studios, where we focused on the executive level and how innovation is making an impact within their organizations.
New this season, we're introducing live streams to invite you to join the conversation.
Also, we want to equip you by providing show recaps from each episode in our new Built Different download. Think different, be different, and build different.
All right, well, welcome back to the Build Different podcast, powered by DroneDeploy Instruction Site, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Brian Vizzaretta. I'm Grant Hagen. Good to see you guys again. I'm joined with two. Oh man, I don't even know how to intro you guys, because if I'm being really honest, I feel like I should probably start by saying friends first and then colleagues next and then potential coworkers longer down the road. We'll figure all that out later. With Gary Chapman and Cole Milberger. Thank you guys for making the time. And we are in their green screen studio. So if you're watching and not just listening, we are surrounded by probably 30 different production lights, a $1,200 tripod, which I didn't know they made them that expensive, and a good green screen behind us. So
yeah, so thank you guys for making the trip here. So we didn't come to you, you came to us.
That's right.
Yeah, this is our awesome world.
That's how we roll. This is my first time to Nashville. Brian.
First time too.
And he bought a nice looking cowboy hat the other night.
He said he was. He said he was going to get one.
It's the first thing I did right after the first day.
Immediately was jealous of, like, I should have bought one too. But then we can't have the same cowboy hat.
Or we could.
Or we could. And we could wear it then.
We're going back tonight, right? So we'll hold you up to it.
We are in between a great time out in Nashville. So we're going to have some fun here. So fellas, one, thank you guys for hosting us. It's super fun. We, Brian and I, just feel so lucky to be able to come out and get to meet more people where they work. And like I said, we are here in Nashville, which is just a really amazing city that you guys are building the skyline for. And it's really cool to see what Turner is doing here locally. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Well, we are curious to talk about a couple things, mainly in which, so we had a couple of Turner folks. Well, we had one person on from Turner. We had Anthony Hartke on from last season. And it was awesome because he really talked about what big projects and small projects kind of relate to each other and how you can take lessons learned from either, which is just super fun to hear. Turner, obviously, huge company. If you haven't heard of Turner, then you may not be on the face of this planet. But what we're going to talk about today is really just this idea of how do you gain executive level buy-in to technology, and what does that process look like? Cole and Gary have just an incredible background and who we got to meet more of their folks on their team today from that executive level. It was really encouraging. Honestly, I was taking a ton of notes and just learning more from Paul, who came in from their office just to talk to the VDC team that we were all syncing up with. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we dive into that, I'd love to get a little bit of your guys' background for the folks to know that are tuning in, kind of maybe how long you've been at Turner, what your roles are, and then we'll get into some of that stuff specific. So, Cole, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, love to. So, I've been with Turner for past 5 years or so. Actually grew up in the industry. So my father and grandfather are architects, and they own their firm in Huntsville, Alabama, and specialized in ice rink design. Because who does that in the South? I don't know, besides my father and grandfather. But yeah, just grew up in the industry. So I grew up in CAD. I grew up in the whole, you know, just the lingo, everything with it. So when I went to Auburn, eventually graduated construction management, and immediately knew after landing internships with Turner, but immediately knew I was coming to Nashville with Turner. And so spent the past 5 years here in Nashville locally, and now have been started as an engineer and now running our Nashville office in regards to VDC, and just had a wonderful, fun time and strong or hard time as well in a lot of ways, but just a great time here with Turner in Nashville building, especially in the digital environment and helping our teams with that.
Love it. Mr. Gary?
Yeah, so kind of an opposite approach, right? Really a complete opposite, which I think makes us a great team, right? Yeah. So I actually came more from the field up. Current role is a regional BDC manager over Memphis, Huntsville, and again, kind of handing off Nashville to Cole. He's been taking that the last year or so, doing a great job there. But really, our region is called the Mid-South, right? And it consists of those three business units. And man, we do everything under the sun when it comes to building digitally, right? We, of course, do our BIM coordination. That's got more automated over the years, really. So it's allowed us to free up more time to integrate, you know, robotics and drones and reality capture and, you know, tracking a lot more than we used to just focus on BIM coordination. So started off, you know, doing a lot of survey work in the field, you know, maybe 12 or 13 years ago, joined Turner about 5 years ago, and focused more on that integrating technology role, right? BIM coordination is what we're going to do. It's going to always be there. It's going to be our bread and butter. But as that gets more automated and advanced, it frees up a lot more time to integrate things like, of course, reality capture and drones and partner with companies like Drone Deploy to really get that kicked off the ground. So really the last, say, 3 years, probably pretty heavily, we've been focusing outside of just BIM coordination and what else could we do besides just coordinate in 3D. And that, of course, opens up a lot of different doors.
Love it. Brian, do you have any thoughts over there?
Listening. I'm just still thinking about kind of a couple things I heard this week, and let's just get into it.
Well, first, one, do you guys hear any little buzzing in your ear?
No, it's just mine.
I think it's probably my headphones. Cool. Second, so the reason we're out here in Nashville, one, we've talked a lot about the difference between partners and vendors on the podcast, and I would say our relationship with Turner is clearly more partner than anything. Probably you guys help us define what that looks like. And, you know, you guys invited us to come out to your VDC summit of just your kind of mid-central team. And honestly, it's been super encouraging to hear more from your guys' team, how you guys collaborate across the country. And then again, to hear from folks in your leadership team really talk and brag on you guys as individuals and the team and what work you guys are doing. And I want to dive into that a little bit specifically. Of talk about the relationship that you guys have with your leadership team here locally in Nashville, and what kind of that's looked like. Like, give us a little brief history, because I know the story, but it's fun to, when you were telling me earlier today, Gary, about just kind of how you had to win them over and to transition a little bit from maybe being a doubter and having it be the first line item cut to now being, I can't imagine not having you as a part of some of these pursuits, and not only that, but also executing the job. So maybe start to use some kind of names, what your relationship was and how it started and really where it is now and what you guys have been able to help with.
I'll take the first stab at it, right? But it really, you mentioned our, you know, they were believing in us, right? But really we brag on our leadership, because starting from the bottom up and the top down, a lot of people want to, you know, convince your superintendents, your field staff. Really, in our opinion, it takes, you know, our leadership pushing that down. And you heard today from, you know, our general manager, Paul Lawson, and I think he's a fantastic example of how it used to be. And that you can take someone that really looked at BDC and virtual building and digital building more of, you know, in the sales mode, right, of what we're going to do one day when the technology is here. And taking his perspective, and now he is like, I mean, you heard it from his own mouth today, right? He said, this is how we do business. And that wasn't an easy change. And it takes those, you know, kind of raving fans and those success stories that can't happen overnight to really change that mentality from your leadership, because, you know, that's not their job. They're not out there in the, you know, boots on the ground. They're out there winning new work. They're out there making sure that our people's took care of and our people are happy. So it really takes people like Cole and ourselves and our department to put those use cases in front of them, right? And go to work and try to convince them that, hey, this is how we should be building, how we should be operating, for a lot of different reasons. So it's definitely changed. It took about 3 or 4 years, but I think we're in a good place now for them to really see, not only from us, you know, showing them and the technology, getting them excited about it, right? But they're seeing it actually happen on our projects. They're hearing superintendents that are 50 years old that are like, hey, I don't care how we do it, right? But we need these people involved in our project all the time, every day. So them hearing that over the years, I think it's really just kind of put trust in our leadership. And when you have trust in your leadership, right, you have a lot of doors that can be opened. And you really are not bottlenecked to the possibilities of what you can, you know, bring to the table. And that's something I think it's just, it takes time, but we're there as a company and as a region, and man, it's future's really bright for a lot of quick adoption of technology. And I think it's, you heard it today from our team.
Yeah.
I mean, there was definitely something I heard actually twice, and the two different people kind of said it, which was, you know, how did this go from something that was just used to win work, but now it's used to do work? And I think that's like a huge milestone shift in any kind of technology team, right? Like when the field's mandating it themselves on their projects is also like a huge milestone turn.
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing from people that don't even know probably how to open a model. I mean, our they're not in, you know, a 3D model every day, but they know that we need to do it that way every day. And I'm just glad that you guys got a chance to hear from a few folks outside of VDC today.
Yeah, totally. And I think the most encouraging part is that you can walk away from that conversation and know that that's not just something that gets talked about in a presentation. Like you can feel it in the room. I mean, Cole, like pretty sure your name, I wasn't keeping a tally, but it was like probably every other phrase or statement was like, oh man, if Cole wasn't there, or geez, the owner was like, hey, how do we do this job without, you know, you as an individual? And tell me a little bit about like your kind of background in that, or just like working on that relationship with an exec team, because you can come in and kind of have your own preconceived notions of like, oh, these guys, they're just here to use me to be a part of a sales pitch, and then we're never going to touch that job again, to like where it is now of where you guys are at and being fully integrated into a lot of these teams and needs of what gets the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that first of all, the biggest thing was having the opportunity to get into the presentations in the first place, because we were only providing content and they weren't even inviting us there. And that was like one of the biggest milestones that I think we crossed, was making sure that we were in the presentation, because we were talking earlier today, you're talking like you asked the question, what are your clients asking? Like, what are their expectations when they come to us? Oh, you should be building this way. And we're like, here's a realistic path. Mm-hmm. And that starts with the relationship that you have with them. That starts with, you know, if I'm not the BD person making contact with them outside of presentation beforehand, but once we get to the RFP stage and we're there in front of them, they're bringing us VDC to the table, to the first reaction with the client, and they're able to sit down and have conversation with us. And that's been the biggest change. I mean, since day one, since we've been in the presentations, number one is not only have our client relations gotten better, but when they come to it, the clients are also expecting us to do that. And so it makes it easier for it to happen, because when they see those cost or the non, if they don't cost anything, it's just something that we're doing already, whatever it is, when they see it, it's already expected, / they're pushing us that direction anyway. So it helps our field teams, no brainer. It's a thing to do. And then obviously as well, I'm not going to go in front of the client and pitch something that is not possible. Like, that's just not who I am, or I feel like Turner is. And so when we go to those things, we're pitching real things.
We like to call that Hollywood BIM.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people have heard that phrase before, but
we used to call it Pretty BIM.
Pretty BIM.
Pretty BIM. Yeah, that's the right term, I think.
Pretty BIM.
I like the Hollywood
BIM. That's nice.
That's fun.
Do you remember, Cole, like the first time you got kind of asked to be a part of some of like the presentation, or just even the pursuit of product? Because like, I can imagine for the folks that are listening, they're like, oh, well, we never get asked to be a part of it. Like, we're the ones trying to kind of beg and, you know, get in front of projects early enough to show what we can do. But like, I think that's a really important milestone that you touched on, is like, hey, when you get asked to be a part of some of these pursuits and projects really early on to help communicate where VDC can be helpful, like give some encouragement to folks of maybe that aren't in that position, and maybe what you, like you were able to kind of do and see to get to that point to help in the pursuit phase.
Yeah. So first of all, I forgot this part of my background. I started off as a disc jockey way back in 2007.
I'm on edge to know what that and how that is going to fit in here.
I know. But my point is, or where I'm going with this is, I've been in live entertainment for like the past 10, 15 years. And so putting on a production is like every part of the day of my life, sitting here with you guys and talking to you guys, not in a bad way, but it's a production to me. Like I'm serious. I want to put forth all my effort to it, et cetera. Same thing when I go in these presentations with our clients, with our people, like it's the same thing. And so, you know, the biggest conversation, the biggest thing I talk to my guys about is take everything with it as a presentation. Always go with that use case and always talk about why this is important to being a builder. I mean, we preach that today, is all VDC is about building and being a builder and being a digital builder. But taking that to the client in front of them, you know, that's, they're going to learn that and love that. And that's the biggest thing that, like, you know, of course, Paul's worked great with us and we've had requests to Paul. Paul's had stuff back to us, you know, every single time we're getting ready for a presentation, he's looking at me, and even though we've, BDC's killing it here, he's looking at me and like, make sure, or you know, relate it. Why is this important? And I mean, he's direct with me. And so, again, it's the same conversation back and forth.
I think one thing that stood out, one of the first times I met you, was just this idea of how you really brought up this kind of phrase that's always stuck with me, is like, hey, we're using this to build trust. And the things that our team is really helping kind of narrate, or I guess functionally equip our teams with, is to build trust with the client, like, yeah, to show them what we can do and why we're choosing to do that. And I mean, did you kind of see that correlation from production to like building trust with these clients that you've like gotten to work with?
Absolutely. But I just want to point this out. It starts with trust internally first, not like, yeah, even department wise, but like we had to build our folks first. We had to reach Paul. We had to reach John Gromos, our senior vice president. We had to reach our individual teams that we're completely negating here, because if they weren't our champions, if our general superintendent that was hopping in that presentation with me and didn't already love working with me, like, he wouldn't be able to volleyball back in front of it, mm-hmm, volleyball with me during presentations. Yep. So it's all about building that internal trust and then taking that to the presentations with you, because the clients see that. And when the clients see a 60-year-old superintendent saying, this Cole guy's a rock star, y'all need to listen to what he said because he like changed my job, or the VDC department or whatever changed my job, and a 63-year-old is saying that, you can see that he has that trust in his eyes. That's what I, where the trust comes into, and that's where the client gets it, is because they see it from us internally.
And that's one of the things everybody's always looking for, is that team dynamic.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yep, does this team actually know each other? Or exactly, are they just a group of people that's pitching this project to us?
Yeah.
Man, and that, you walk into a room, you can tell that really quickly, right? And it's such an interesting point for you to bring up, because I think a lot of the folks that tune in and listen to this are like, gosh, like, I'm only just seen as this transactional person to help print something or to help install something or to help solve a problem and then to be moving on down the road. Like, what do you feel like has helped to build that trust with the team? Like, it's a hard, well, I heard what you said earlier, Gary, is like, yeah, it just takes patience and time, right? Like, we know that, but
yeah, I look at it really by breaking it down way more simplified, right? Like, what are we talking about in these presentations? We're talking about building something, right? So why would we not utilize tools and talent in our department specifically to create a digital representation of what we're about to talk about, right? It's almost, why would you not include some sort of digital representation of the presentation or the building you're talking about, right? So I think as me and Cole kind of showed our own team, like you mentioned earlier, just showing our capabilities and what we can bring to the table, that caught the attention of really everyone. And it almost made sense of, if we're going in front of a client, or really in front of anyone, it doesn't have to be a client. It can be our trade partners. It can be just anytime you're talking about this project that doesn't exist physically, we need to make it exist digitally so we can have a conversation around it, do different types of analysis around it. So it really is just common sense just to work and build a digital representation, whether it's logistics plans, whether it's different studies, things that we do every day on projects to win new work. And not only are we doing it to win new work, we're showing the client, we're coming there with that team dynamic and that synergy that we're coming into the presentation with, that they see that we are a team and we're not just talking about something. We're going to win this job, and then we're going to go out there and we're going to use these same tools to make the project better. And they see, they don't just hear our project executives or anyone else talking about, hey, we have a VDC department back in the office that will help with this. They see that those people there in the presentation, and it just builds that, I think, that synergy and trust with the client along with our other team.
I heard a quote once, and somewhat relatable to this, is people don't remember what you did for them. They remember how you make them feel. And when you think about trust, like, and setting the tone in just like these presentations and pursuits, like, obviously you're up against competition and you guys have different ways of approaching, the project and the way that you visualize it and communicate it to them. But like, you're really evoking this sense of trust with them. And hopefully, not hopefully, it is what your team is, focusing on, is like really the core of what it is that you're going to go out and execute on is really derivative of your guys' team's ability to give that as an opportunity to talk about, right? I mean, we talk about all the time how, you know, project teams don't necessarily, or VDC teams don't really get involved early enough in the project, but you guys are like clearly setting that tone very, very early.
We're not going to chase projects that we don't want to build, right? We have different types of, expertise in locally. We have different types of clients that we want to work for and they want to work for us. And so when we go into these presentations and these interviews, we're a big company. We don't need to win every single job. We're going to go in there knowing that if we do win this job, it's going to be fun, right? And we're going to build it the best we can. And we have the people like Cole. We have our pre-con team. We have our estimating team. We have our superintendents that they enjoy doing these things, right? And so it's really, it's almost not that hard when you have that, again, I use the word synergy again with our team, and we have that plan going in. Mm. And we just got where, it's pretty obvious that our own people are not going to go into these, whether it's presentations or whether it's just basic conversations without letting them know that we're going to use VDC and these digital tools to build their project. And they see that. And honestly, I think it's pretty, pretty clear whenever a client recognizes that and they see that we're, using these tools that early on. And we have people like Cole and others in the presentation, active in the process way before we've spent a dollar, building it. It's not even hours yet. Yeah. They see that and they trust that we're going to do it that way. So
I want to hear a little bit more about, past the pursuit, now it goes into execution, right? Project breaks ground, it's ongoing, progress is going. How have you kind of seen like reality capture play a role in kind of bridging that gap between you and the field teams, right? I mean, a lot of them, they'll see the final coordination model, but they're not, in Revit necessarily messing around with things. Like, how have you seen whether it's like their first interaction to this reality capture digital world has been, some type of interface that's been more user friendly that's designed for those teams?
I think it's been a native like absorption. Like, it just happens naturally. It's been something we've been doing for years, and we've had all these different options out there, and we're finally finding the solution, and it's simple. And I don't really know too much to say beyond it's just natural in regards to it's something that we do every day or we're doing every day. And when we have an easier solution that is found its path, it's natural.
Yeah, it's expectations, right? It's just, doing reality, reality capture and other types of, whether it's drone mapping, laser scanning, just photo documentation. That's something that's, by default, right? Our teams expect that. So as we win the job, right, and it goes into pre-construction and estimating and we're looking at the jobs, and, our estimating teams are immediately going to come to us and say, hey, can you guys give me a cut fill on this site? Or they're going to come to us and say, can you give us a 3D takeoff from the model? Or our pre-construction teams are working with us to see, hey, this is a, this type of project, it's a retrofit. There's a lot of, unknowns out there. How much laser scanning do we need to do to make sure we're verifying, doing a lot of VE and validating the drawings as they go through the design package process. So, whether it's a retrofit, or new construction, greenfield, there's a lot of different things that we use. But I think the most important part is our own team outside of, our 10 VDC folks or so, the other 75 people out there. They know where to come, when to come for different problems that they need to help solve every day.
And to add on to that, I think that is also huge, is that we don't have regionally here anymore. We don't have 10 different solutions out there. And that's huge for a company like us because, 1 year later, 6 months later, 3 years from now, whatever, you may be swapping job to job, it's all the same solution. And so that's been the biggest things is when you leave one project, I'm going to a different workflow or different work.
Yeah, what new software do I have to learn now?
We're finally trying to standardize around reality capture and finally are able to, and that's huge.
I think you saw that this week, right? I mean, 2-3 years ago, a lot of people were just learning about point clouds and how, we're pretty much going to scan to mesh and talking about meshes now. We're talking about different avenues. So, the industry is moving so fast of how not only our own teams are adopting reality capture, but how clients and how our trade partners, right? And how people even coming from, newer, this green in the industry, maybe they just graduated, they're coming out of school knowing what a point cloud is, right? Knowing what LiDAR is, it's on their phones now. So it's just definitely a by default process, and it's just going to get easier.
I was going to say, I think one of the most, and you mentioned on it today, which was one of the most under leveraged departments is marketing, your internal marketing company. your internal marketing team at the company. And what I want to know more about is like, how do you kind of leverage them to like share those internal stories and those internal wins, right? Like you hear something in a pursuit or a superintendent says, this is amazing because of XYZ, it saved me on this.
Yeah, just to real clear before marketing kills us, I think Cole mentioned today, we didn't talk, that's the one group we didn't talk about today.
Enough.
We, yeah. Marketing is our rock stars, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
We have Turner has a great marketing approach anyways, but locally that's some of our, not only colleagues, but some of our good friends, right? We deal with them daily. Grant, we just walked by and talked to Sarah, right? Yeah. But they continue to be that yin and yang when it comes to what we do, right? They know when to come to us for things. We know what to provide them on project specifics, right? So it's just a good meshing with our marketing department. And I know that didn't quite answer your question, but they trust us and we trust them. And what we do really kind of
compliments
there you go, what they do, and they understand that
it definitely does have a complimentary feel, because I mean you guys don't have backgrounds in marketing and they obviously have known strategies and ways to go about, you know, being effective at their profession. And when you can compliment each other, I mean these two teams, like when they intersect and they're both going up and to the right, and they intersect at times and have, you know, points of really when they're diving in and like gelling together. But It is crazy that the value that each team can bring each other. And I don't think it gets talked about enough. I think it's kind of like, oh, you guys go, I'm going to toss something over the fence and you'll take care of it. And then you'll toss something over our side of the fence of a need and we'll take care of it.
Well, I'm even just talking about like sharing internal wins of things. I mean, it's very in construction's nature to just do something amazing and move on to the next task.
We talked about it today, right? I think Derek maybe mentioned it. He was like, guys, you need to take the time to show the amazing things that you're doing. Like you get too focused on the next thing that you're going to showcase and you're going to go do. And like, I totally agree. Is marketing helpful in that kind of endeavor to share wins? I mean, to Brian's question.
Well, that's, I think what you're meant, like Derek mentioned, I think his exact quote was, he was talking to the group today, right? And I think it was yesterday, actually. He said, you know what? You guys are awesome at problem solving. Mm-hmm. You can take anything and you can use, you know, different technologies and different workflows to solve problems. But what you suck at is telling people about it, mm-hmm. right? Right. You're telling that story, what happened. You mm-hmm. just move on to the next problem. And, you know, we're trying to do that as a, I think, industry, right? Slow down and tell those stories. And, you know, to your point, you know, you have to have a group that really brings all of those together. And I think we do a pretty good job at that, especially with Turner. You know, we're 12,000 employees and have, you know, projects all over the country. And so I think that we do that nationally well. And I think we do that locally well. It's just things move so fast where, you know, unless we stop and talk about it, and that's like our department or really any other department, whether it's Precon or VDC or anyone, you really just have to stop and enjoy the kind of the wins mm-hmm. And make sure it's documented, right? And wish we could do more, but I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's don't exist, right? But
no, it definitely does. And what I was going to add to that, when you mentioned this earlier and I was about to say something, but culture here is awesome. And like when you speak of our marketing department, all I think of is fun. And I think of like whenever we're working on pursuits, not only with marketing, but with other teams and whatever, we have a lot of fun. And I think VDC has an opportunity, obviously in a professional atmosphere, you're never supposed to say something that you spend money on is fun, but this is fun and we produce results. And I think that is so huge in that culture around having fun and what we and our team here locally bring to the table of all of our partners in the field and marketing, NBD, whatever. We just like to have a good time.
You're talking about you get paid to have fun? Is that what I'm
what?
Hearing? No. It's a crazy concept.
No, but I'm so serious. Like here locally, we just have a good time and we get results with it. And that's what makes it so much better. And so like when we are working on these pursuits, putting in all this time that everybody does mm-hmm. and that everybody probably at home listening is like, I put in so much time, I don't get recognition, whatever, blah blah blah, totally hear it.
It's real organic.
It's organic,
it just comes natural. I think that's just comes back with trust, right? Not only in individuals but our leaderships or different departments. We definitely don't look at anything that we do, whether it's a pursuit, whether it's operations, whether it's, you know, a new client. You know, we're giving them everything we have all the time. And we're not, you know, looking at a small project, big project, right? We're going to have that same approach at some level with everything we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got some questions, but I don't want to cut. You guys don't hear that buzzing?
No.
That's your brain exploding.
Dude, it is my brain. Like, oh my God. Oh my gosh. Is there a bee in here? I want to talk about Paul for a little bit, because he kind of touched on it today, when he came to present to us. And I want to hear from your guys' perspective, his, let's just call it, catalyst moments or his transition moments that are like, oh, I maybe have been thinking about this maybe a little bit wrong, of maybe just bringing you guys in to show the shiny object, to win the job, and then, you know, kind of move on from. And you could clearly tell today that is a thing of the past with him. And I'm curious to hear your guys' perspectives, because there's a lot more of that story. But walk us through a little bit of, like, what you guys have seen from your perspective in winning the Paul over in your guys' team's dynamic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll take this first, because Cole came on, you heard him, his nickname is the future, right?
Yeah,
Paul refers
awesome.
To Cole as the future, the DeLorean, everyone on the call.
I'm still wondering where you park it.
Yeah, it's so sick.
It hovers above the office. It's part two.
No joke, that's his nickname, is the future. So
yeah, but Paul was, like I mentioned before, he was one of those people that, you know, really looked at VDC as just a clash detection coordination tool. And I think his aha moment was when he saw how we were reducing risks, right? He saw, as a leader in the business, that, you know, because that's really our biggest, I mean, we're a general contractor, really. Our job isn't to build things, it's to manage risks that, you know, as we're building things, right? So when he saw how VDC and technology, and this was, I think, a specific DroneDeploy example, when we're mapping it and we were blasting and, you know, validated a $750,000 change order that shouldn't have existed, right? And he saw right then and there that, and realistically, you heard him say we saved $750,000,
yep,
I think.
That's what he said.
In his eyes, that paid for VDC for the next decade, right? So if we could do that on every single thing that we do, not just with drone validation, but reality capture and coordination. And I think that was when he really realized that, one, this is something that's a value add. But I think, two, he's the person that interacts with clients every day. That's one of his main jobs. And I think just the industry is talking about technology more. They're asking us, hey, what does your VDC department look like? What does your innovation department look like? And if Paul doesn't have a good answer for that, then, you know, we're already, you know, having to fight from the bottom. So I think him realizing that he's consistently hearing clients talk about and wanting to know more what we're doing as a company, I think he realized as well he needed to kind of educate himself on, you know, what's out there. And Susanna Gill, she's our business development manager, you know, the same way, right? She hears from clients all the time. She always reaches out and says, hey, this client asked about what we're doing with the robotics. What should I tell them? So I think them hearing from clients a lot more of them inquiring about our innovations and different technologies and what local resources we have, what national resources we have, I think made him, not just him, but just really leadership in general, really understand they need to make sure VDC and innovation is more involved in the business.
Yeah. And cool. The only thing I have to add to that is not only, like, kind of in that example, a reactive state where we had documented something and gone back to it and referred, oh, found out we $750,000 don't pay for. But when we started pushing him proactive solutions that were proactively, you know, reality capture, laser scanning a building, finding, you know, bust all over the place when we're trying to sliver a building in a downtown state, like finding those things proactive was a game changer as well, I'm assuming, because reactive is great and all, but proactive, whoa. Like, we can take that to client and be like, we're proactive on your job site. That's why we're here.
Before we even started. Like, we're proactive before we've even stepped foot on your job, yep, and showing you some of these things. And
I kind of wanted to talk about the, you know, going from that reactive state to a proactive state. Like, what is the effort added during a construction progress, right? So whether you're walking weekly or flying weekly becomes more of a proactive approach as opposed to, I'm only going to document once at NWAL. Like, can you talk more about, like, the magnitude, like, the more effort versus the, like, higher return of outcome?
Almost like the exponential value that comes when you're being proactive when thinking about reality capture,
yes,
rather than it being a, oh, it's just going to be a one-time thing.
You're talking about the thing that's the hardest to track, the thing that we didn't do,
yeah,
because we figured it out beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an age-old question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something hard to prove, right? But it's going back to documenting those small wins, right? And whenever we can say, hey, on this project, core and shell parking garage, you think it's a simple build, but we just did this, you know, one last year, and this is kind of what how we you know, either whether it's 360 walkthroughs, whether it's in-wall validation, whether it's, you know, validating some change orders, whatever that is, when other people can see a similar job that utilizes the same workflow, it's an easy, I wouldn't call it a sell, or even it's an easy mindset and it's easy culture to say, hey, we should do this all the time. And to your original question, Brian, like going back to, do we do it once a day, once a week? It just takes that first time, right? If we start early, I think we all know every time we laser scan something, every time we do some sort of validation, every time that we compare a model to the field, we will, I guarantee you, we will find something wrong. It might be small things, might be big things, combination, but I guarantee you, you will find probably dozens of things that are just sitting there waiting to be discovered. And so once you do it once, and I think one of the projects called, I remember Bobby Fay at Broadwest, he called us the drug dealers because we would come in, we would say, hey, Bobby, this is like a 60-year-old, you know, super smart, super, looks like Santa Claus, right? A super smart guy, but really, another topic at the time. But he literally would come in, do some testing and, you know, maybe some R&D on his job because it was a big job. And we would come in and say, Bobby, there's like 15 things that we found wrong. We need some time to review it with you. And we did. And he was like, okay, I want you here Tuesday and Fridays for the next 6 months to win these. I'm like, whoa. This, you know, things cost money. We need to talk about with the project team if we can get this in. And so he would always call us the drug dealers because we would come in, tempt him with something, and then say, sorry, we can't come back and do it because the project didn't budget for it early enough.
You guys were his gateway drug. It's like, but yeah, give me a little bit of that. And then,
just a little bit. Then we take it away, right? It's like a teaser. But I mean, that's kind of how it is a lot of the times when a project, and we use that example a lot because when a project doesn't involve us early, when the buyout, we're not buying BIM, right? We're not buying, you know, how we're going to implement technology right early on. You know, that's being reactive, right? Mm-hmm. That's, hey, I think we got a laser scanner. Can we come scan this wall? I think the field, you know, made it a little crooked. We're like, well, sure we can, but who's going to pay for it?
I think the other thing to add, last thing to add to that is conviction. Like when I've seen bad things happen on a job site and I know as a VDC guy I can fix them today by looking at a model or capturing this or whatever, that conviction is like what makes us do it before and then take it to them and get them on that gateway drug we were just referring to.
Yeah.
No, totally. Poor Santa Claus. He's just on the gateway drugs. And
well, he's retired now.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Is he?
Yeah,
he better not be.
Well, he's like, call me if you need me, but you better pay me. He's more of a consultant superintendent.
So now he's a VDC manager.
Basically, yeah.
I think he's on a podcast. But, right?
Yeah. That is one of my favorite stories there, really, because that, and that's like Paul too. Paul, you know, he mentioned it today when he was speaking that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, he didn't understand it because you don't know what you don't know. Mm. And again, this goes back to how we started this conversation, right? It's about having trust in our leadership, starting from the top down, and not trying to find every superintendent and find some small use case, which is important. But those small use cases won't happen until we get involved early, right? Yeah. In the pre-con. And the good thing is when we're involved in the presentation and we're, you know, we contribute to that win, guess what? The client's expecting us to do that now.
Yeah.
Hey, I gave you this job because you told me how your quality is going to be, you know, out the roof because you guys are going to scan all the time. Do you think, you know, our own team's going to pull scanning out of a budget, you know, when the client's expecting it? So it's, you know, it's early involvement is possible. And really there's no reason why VDC technology, some sort of innovation, some sort of way we're going to build the project digitally shouldn't be involved in step. Once we decide we're going to attack a project, I don't know why we wouldn't start talking about that digital twin and let's start replicating it digitally to see what kind of information we could pull from it early on.
And not only, and sorry, again, last thing.
No, please.
Not only mentioning too earlier, you don't have to find big issues. All you got to do is take a drone out, fly it, figure out how much rock is on our ramp at this project. This is a Bobby Faye story.
Yeah.
Find out how much rock is in his hole right now that he wants to excavate just by flying a drone once. And next thing you know, he's asking about, can I use a drone to answer this question for me? And then that's every other week now.
We got him hooked in, right?
Yeah, he's hooked. He literally just took a backfill quantity for him and gave it to him. Next thing you know, every single week, he's like, can a drone answer this question for me? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I don't think it gets talked about enough. It's just the small wins that eventually tip the scale really quickly. I mean, you throw pennies on a scale and you don't see a lot of movement. It goes back to the patience part, right? And it's tricky because you get weary, right? I think especially our teams, we're like, gosh, why don't you see it? How can you not see this? And yeah, you just get weary really quickly. And if you don't have those small wins, or if you don't talk about them, like what Brian's saying, of like sharing them around, of like, hey, we are doing good things, and like we are making an impact, and we are having those things. You can just get tired in it.
I'd be kind of curious. I mean, I still am kind of trying to figure out my own mathematical formula for setting a team up for success. Whether they're like these trigger points where, okay, you just did your first 360 walk. When it's processing, the first thing you're going to do is add external field teams, add your design team, add these, like almost like a checklist of things that I believe attribute to just a higher retention rate of like a higher return of value, right? Like the first time I'm going to show you is going to be like the first time I'm going to have you walk may be a concrete pour or an in-wall inspection. Even though it might be too late on your job, just getting that time to value down as much as possible. Like, what are some things that you will do when you're setting up a project team with something? Like, are there any like small little hacks that you're like, oh, if I do this at the beginning, I know that they will get more value out of this?
I mean, I think the big obvious thing is before we touch a job site, before we mobilize, put a fence up, take a tree down, you know, get in there and get that walk, right? Because nobody's there on the job site yet, right? They're still talking about the job from either another state, here in the local office. They're not there. So if we can provide a platform for them to talk about the job while they're before they get there, one, that gives them, you know, that expectation, they're, you know, that familiar, or that they're more familiar with what the site is without being there. And on the back side of that, we might use that, you know, a year and a half later when we're turning the job over and the client's trying to give us a change order for tearing up a curb that was already cracked and busted before we started, right? So, and everything in between, right? When you have that constant data, and I've always been a big believer on, especially with 360 walks and any kind of easy, low-hanging way to capture a lot of areas quickly, you got to do it often, and you got to do it when it's important, and you have to do it in a way that people are using it. And if they're not using it, and you know the value of it, it's such an obvious value that if you just show them this and take maybe a little time, there's a couple people that we work with that we almost have to kind of say, hey, here's where you put your password in, here's how you go to the calendar, right, here's how you go back to this date. It seems pretty simple, but you know, once you get that first little bit of training in, again, it's such a big value to be able to see the site without being there.
So what I heard you say is that the hack is really like setting the job up by documenting it before you even...
Earlier the better.
Yeah. Earlier the better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just giving you a place to collaborate from, as if it's like, hey, like, this is where we're all going to move into. It's kind of like before you move into a house or an apartment or somewhere, it's like, let's just make sure we get this thing all on the same page, everyone. And I mean, to do that, obviously, on the ground, doing a walk makes the most sense. But even from the air, too, right? I mean, touch on that maybe a little
No,
bit.
I mean, we have a lot of clients that, again, especially here in Tennessee and really the U.S., you know, the big boom is like battery plants, right? And most of these clients that are building these battery plants, their technology, their equipment is not even in the same country. So in one project specifically, we're doing, you know, flights as often as possible. We're doing walks. We're asking them, you know, or asking the team a day or two before what's going to be the topic of conversation. So when you have clients specifically, they're not local. I mean, it just behooves us not to do that. But the big value is that, you know, picture's worth 1,000 words. And when you don't speak the same language, it's worth 1,000,000, right? So us being able to do that, just basic capture, right, and sharing it with them, I mean, it's just priceless to when you're not on the site. So,
cool. Yeah. Cole, I'm curious to hear your hack of setting a job up successfully, or like what task really does differentiate them to be successful or not?
Any task that is a simple task is the answer. I mean, and I'm saying that jokingly, but serious. Like, if you want the design team to be involved, you got to send them the invite. Like, okay, that's really simple. Send them the invite at the beginning of the job. Teach them, show them. They're going to take it and they're going to run with it from there, and they may use it for something completely different. You may learn from them, but you have to invite them to see where it goes. Same thing with the clients. Like, next thing you know, we're getting invites. Oh, I want my mother-in-law to be, of course, we don't go that far, but you know, they want to see it. They want to show it off. And so number one, getting the people in the platform in the first place where they can see all this is crucial, but it's so simple and it's so often so skipped. Like, the amount of times that we don't have X person in there, I'm like, why are they not already in drone deploy? And I think that's the first part is keeping it simple. And the other thing too is, and not to negate the amount of effort that y'all have put into how to's, but again, my production background, et cetera, I love recording the super simple videos, regardless if it's 30 seconds or 10 minutes. Those move a lot of boundaries out of the way. Like, hey guys, by the way, on our X site, on our share site, here's a folder with 10 videos covering the 10 subjects that are going to affect your job VDC wise, the most specifically, and a lot of those are reality capture. So
yeah. Cole communicates, I can't tell how many times, instead of a screenshot, most people would send a markup, screen recording, he'll voice over, okay, this, and this, and that's how he communicates. So
yeah. It's fun for me.
No, it's very effective.
Yeah. Have you started thinking about that knowledge exchange by project type, like your hospital projects and that PX getting some type of different deliverable of information as opposed to obviously like your small fit outs, et cetera?
Well, man, I think that project type really is one of the most important things, right? Not really what we're building, right? But what kind of building we're, you know, is it a core and shell garage? Is it a TI? Is it a data center? Is it a hospital? Is it, you know, something to speed? I think Andy Davis, he's our general manager, VP out of Memphis. He always describes it like a tripod, right? You only can have two of the three. You have your schedule, quality, and cost. You can't have all three, right? So what two things of those three is important to that client? For example, an airport, right? They really don't care too much about cost, right? They care about schedule and they care about quality, right? Whereas a parking garage for a client downtown that wants to earn return on their investment and get that thing built as quickly as possible, they could give a crap less about quality. They really care about schedule and cost, right? So depending on what two of those three things are important to that specific project type, I think it's a good way to kind of get started. And you know, anytime you don't have cost involved, it's always easier. But most of the times, cost is the major driving factor. And that's even when we win or lose jobs, right? We could be, you know, the most professional, have the best tools, the best staff, the best, you know, culture. But if we're not the cheapest, we have to overcome that hump and, you know, and show them why we're expensive, why you're getting a premium here. And guess what? Things aren't free. So if we're giving a premium deliverable, you know, the client's typically going to pay that premium price. And so going back to your original question, and what we talked about was project type is, it drives everything. We're going to put in a much bigger effort for a healthcare client, for certain tools, certain reality capture, certain documentation than we would for something else. But at the same time, if we have a parking garage that's going in a downtown area, we'll probably have a heavy reality capture around existing utilities, making sure our blasting, you know, we're not over blasting, things like that. But once the structure's up, we probably won't do too much documentation of, you know, a parking garage. So project type, you know, different times of the project's always going to drive that implementation of certain types of technologies.
Yeah. And the only thing I was going to add on to that, I don't know why I thought about this, but I like honesty. And it's okay to say no. Like, there's this whole theory that we always have to say yes and make it work, and I'm totally against that. Like, you can say no, like, this is not the option, or this is not the best way, or no, it's not going to work, I'm sorry. That has empowered us a lot and built that honesty, because they know they're going to get the honest answer. So, like, saying yes isn't always the best.
Well, I like, well, you know, I've mentioned it before, but one of my mentors, John Gromos, he always said, Gary, if you just approach it with, don't tell me no, tell me yes if. So if I want something or if we need something, like, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to tell you yes if X, Y, and Z is done.
You're a lot nicer than I am. I just say no.
Well, I'm just saying no is never there, yeah, if you give me these things, right? Correct. So, yeah. But yeah, that's a great point that we're very realistic. And even some of our budgets we provide our own teams might be pretty high for certain technologies, innovation that we think we should use, but they're realistic, right? So, but yeah, got to be honest.
Yes, but I do want to land the plane here a little bit. This is, I mean, we could honestly just keep talking for days. A last question, or just a question in general that I've kind of been stewing around is, like, what do you feel like are the biggest misconceptions at that, like, exec level of your guys' team? And how are you guys addressing it? What are ways in which you've kind of overcome it? Like, I didn't really hear any specifically from Paul, but maybe early days of what some of the misconceptions that he had, and how are you guys really leveraging that trust now to kind of continue to build off of that?
I think the biggest mix, it's real simple. I think everyone used to think that these types of technologies and VDC was expensive, right? everyone thinks that unless you have a billion-dollar campus or a mega project, that you can't have, you know, innovation and VDC and technologies on a project. We can apply 360 walkthroughs. We can apply, you know, drone flights, really easy things that we do all the time to a $10 million, you know, SPO job just as easy as we can and bring the same value as we can to a billion-dollar campus. So I think our leadership and I think the industry as a whole thinks that you only can apply VDC and those type of efforts to bigger jobs. And that's just simply not the case.
Yeah, and that comes with leadership support because with that comes all these nuances of trying to recover cost and all these different things that allow us those opportunities to do those on smaller jobs. And so cost is definitely not always, it was or what everybody thought was a hindrance. And I try to back that and believe that as well.
Yeah.
One of the other things too, I was trying to remember the exact quote from Ben and from Nationals down to us is stop being just visualizers or we're not just visualizers. You know, we're builders, we're result driven. And I think a lot of people pre all of this discussion thought that we were just visualizers, that we're just providing a 4D animation to do presentation. And lo and behold, when we put that extra effort in there and we start doing proactive, start with reactive and then and put those points out there and start talking to the proactive points, that it's easy to go from there without question. So,
yeah. We're a construction company, not a drone company, not a laser scanning company, right? We're builders. And yeah. There's all kinds of tools out there that I think we all know. And it's just going to get, again, easier and easier in the industry to know that you can't build buildings nowadays without technology and innovation. And if you do, you're either not building them well or you're not building them at all, because technology is going to be here way, way beyond this year, next year. It's not going to have some boom, right? It's going to continue to just drive how we build things. Yeah, we got to be right there in the front to continue to do it.
I was going
to
say, you could go back to your tripod analogy. If you don't build in a digital way, you're going to lose one of those legs of those tripods.
Yeah, you can't have all three. I don't know one project that has a great schedule where they build it super fast, that they build it really, really cheap, and they had great quality.
Yeah.
You have to lose one of those, and hopefully one day we could have all three. But
I think technology is really kind of maybe not letting all three of those, not letting one of those be the thing that tips it, right? Like, technology really is kind of this is stupid, but the thing at the bottom of the tripod that like keeps all three of those together, right? Like, it keeps the three legs connected in some way. Like, you think about schedule, how technology helps with that. You think about quality, clearly, like, that's where technology comes in. And then you think about cost. It's like, hey, like, these are preventing rework costs and different other costs. Like, it's just interesting. I've heard that analogy many, many times. And I think that the disconnect or the second level that doesn't get talked about is how technology truly can actually help all three of those improve at the same time. I mean, I just think the very first example of why drones on the job that we were on just took off, because I was like, guys, like, wait a second here. We've always had to give up one of these. And this aerial inspection that we're going to do really checks all three of those boxes. Like, let's just kind of sit a little bit. That's not common. And so with that, like, how do we take this into more farther ground? And I love that analogy, and I've always loved it, because it really brings that kind of sense of like truth and realism to situations. But I just don't think it often gets talked about of how technology really is turning that corner and saying, hey, maybe I can help all three of these things.
It should, right? You should not, like, technology shouldn't look at, or it shouldn't be a misconception that, hey, we're going to use laser scanning on a project, it's going to cost us money. It should be, hey, we're going to use laser scanning on a project, God, we're going to save so much money because we're going to find all this stuff first, right? And that's a great point. You know, it's in today's world, you typically have to lose one of those three. But I mean, technology, whether it's drone, laser scanning, mock-ups, you know, renderings, whatever that is, it should help all three legs and help hold them together.
And I just don't think our industry has seen something that's come in to address all three of those. And I think that's what is really unique about our roles, what we've been able to do, how we're helping more teams, operations, marketing, all these other, like, hey, you've been told that pick two. Hey, I'm going to flip the script here a little bit and say, what if I can help in all three? And that's just, I think it changes people's mindset, because they're like, wait, I've never had that. Like, I've never been able to tackle all three of those things together.
Man, that's that synergy, that organic team. I think it's not just VDC. It's not just our clients, our owners, our executives. Once you have everyone trusting each other, right? I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't do that, because, and we should, right? So challenge accepted there.
Challenge accepted. Well, guys, this has been super fun. Honestly, if you're listening, and I hope you had as many takeaways as I've already started to stew around. If you haven't connected out with Cole and Gary on LinkedIn or just even through our channels too, please do. It honestly, you guys have been just an encouragement for not only both Brian and I, but our entire team on the DroneDeploy team, of just learning, continuing to build the partnership that we've had, not only just from a business side of just, we were just talking about what we were doing last weekend, Gary, and it's like, oh, dude, that's awesome. Like, that sounds like a ton of fun.
Do we have enough time to talk about that?
I wish.
You know I will.
But it's just fun, and I would just encourage all the folks that are listening and tuning in. It's just like, guys, if you're not connecting with these people that are sparking a curiosity or have a question with, like, man, we shouldn't be sitting here talking about this stuff. Like, take it from this conversation. Find ways to get the questions answered that you have, and really try to connect with these folks.
I could flip it right back, right? If anyone listening is not touching out or reaching out with you guys, I mean, that just helps us, right? Because you guys have been such a great partner, and I think that it's not only a partnership, right? We're talking about, you know, the next couple conferences 5 years down the road. What are we going to do then? So, man, just couldn't ask for a better partner, and still future's bright.
Yeah, it is really fun. Brian, any closing thoughts?
Nope. Let's go get some. Let's go down to Broadway.
Honky tonk in Nashville.
I got to get my hat steamed. So
we'll get you a pair of matching boots.
Yep. Yeah, Brian does need to get his hat steamed. We bought his hat literally as the store was closing, and they're like, "Hey, you're gonna have to come back and get steamed." And Brian's like, "Steamed?
What is that?
What is that? Like, steam my clothes? Like,
I was thinking like Chipotle burrito, but I'm learning. I'm learning.
Did you go to Tacovas?
No. I think it was.
Another Nashville hat.
Boots and hats. Boot barn. Yeah, it was Boot Barn.
The only one open at like 3 a.m.
Yeah. Clearly, they had the selection that we needed.
They were targeting people that probably don't care if their hats are steamed or not.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sir, do you know about steam?
Got on the head.
No. Cool. Well, then just get out of here because it's time to leave. Well, fellas, thank you again. This has been super fun. Would just encourage anyone who's listening to, please do connect with these guys on LinkedIn. It's just really cool to see the stuff that you guys are working on. And thank you for making the time. Thank you for hosting. I mean, as we're sitting here in this amazing space, keep doing some great stuff, and we'll try to help you guys along the way.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
awesome.
Guys. Thanks, team.
Make sure to subscribe to Built Different on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Let's build this community together.